B-Pod Studios.
He is the self-proclaimed America's funniest grandpa. He says it's not easy living with toddlers, but it's survivable, and it certainly is survivable if you have Howard Eisenberg in your household. A one-time father of three toddlers, he's now a grandfather of a half dozen, and a great-great-grandfather of a two-year-old that he's very fond of. Mr. Eisenberg, welcome.
Well, hey, that's fine, welcome. But you can call me Grandpa.
Okay, Grandpa, that's good. Cause, yeah, you sound so upbeat and ready for fun at any hour of the day. Isn't that true?
Well, you know, you gotta be when you got the young ones around you. You know, I love them because they keep me young.
Your book that you have some of these things in there. You call the book Adorable Scoundrels. The Adorable Scoundrels.
Oh, yes.
And so you're a great-grandfather of a two-year-old right now.
Well, thank you very much.
And of course, many half-dozen grandchildren. Hey. Yes, sir.
I'm a pretty good grandfather, but I guess I'm a great one.
And again, another zingaroo. Let me ask you this: you're the America's funniest grandpa. That is self-proclaimed. You didn't win any award or anything and get your picture in the paper because you're the funniest grandpa. You're not recognized. It's something that you say for your kids and stuff.
Oh, sure. Anybody that meets me, though, they say I'm the funniest grandpa they ever met.
Hey, let me do this. How old of a fart are you?
Language.
Oh, sorry, that's right, kids. My apologies. How old of a man are you, Grandpa?
I am 87 years young.
87. What a life you've lived, you old son of a bitch.
Language.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Grandpa. I'm sorry. I just, you know, get carried away and I forget, you know, it's for the kids and all that stuff. What do you do, Grandpa, to make a kid laugh? Do you read them a story? Do you go and tell them funny little things? It says here that you're the only grandpa in America that can tell a child the difference between puppies and bunnies.
What?
You ever steal that great-grandchild's nose? Got your nose!
Boy, sounds like somebody's been stealing Grandpa's material.
It says here that you've tried to submit some of your funny little things to Sports Illustrated, Parenting Magazine, even the highbrow Wall Street Journal. Of course, yeah. you never did get published in that aspect.
Yeah, and I got banned from the Reader's Digest. I'm no longer allowed to submit to Laughter's the Best Medicine.
Oh, come on. What's behind your ear? Is that a quarter? Is that a quarter behind you? Ever do one of those?
Well, that's with inflation.
you are something special.
You know, yeah. It's just simple things. Child is they're a lot more ready to laugh than you grown-ups.
This is so true because they haven't been tarnished and tainted with the real world yet. You are
but
their world.
For instance, how old of a boy are you?
I'm 54.
Oh, you're just a little fella.
Well, compared to you.
Yeah, but I tried to make grown-ups laugh, and they don't find me funny.
Nope, and that's why you turn to the kids. That's what I would call an easy audience, unless you had a rabble-rouser there. You know?
Sure.
And I think that's why people write kids' books, to come to think of it. They try to write adult books, and it just doesn't go over. But if you write a kid's book, any kid will laugh at anything.
Yeah, and, you know, you spend a lifetime accumulating jokes and gags that people don't laugh at. It gets to a man. Mm-hmm. My own children never laughed at me.
They didn't? Well, were you a stern father? I mean, you're with your own children. You know, it's different being a grandparent or a great-grandparent. Being a parent, you have to let them know who's boss.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was that so much, or I hadn't quite refined the material yet.
That could be it. And, you know, I still want to know a little bit about you. But ladies and gentlemen who's listening in the audience right now, we're going to be treated to a little bit of Grandpa's humor in just a second, his Adorable Scoundrels book. I see that you live alone now, Mr. Eisenberg, Grandpa, if you will. Your wife passed away not too long ago, did she?
Yes.
Yeah. And were you able to, throughout your marriage to make her laugh?
Oh, no. She was a cold fish.
Really? So it wasn't until after her passing that you really started to enjoy life again.
Yes, her name was Hattie, but I called her Haddock.
I can't. Eisenberg, is that German?
Yes.
Where did you stay during the war? You're 83 years old. You had to be around during the big one. Where did you stay during the war, Mr. Eisenberg? Were you here in the United States?
I was in a watchtower.
That is inappropriate. All right.
See, that's the grown-up stuff that people don't find amusing.
No, a lot of people, including myself, find that slightly offensive, although funny.
Well, get over yourself.
All right. Here is six-time grandpa and great-great-grandpa to a two-year-old. Here he is, grandpa himself, Howard Eisenberg. Howard, go right at it, sir, and make us all laugh.
You know, maybe you got a barbecue going on by the pool, and, yeah. You know, you have a small child there, and they probably got their water wings on because their parents are so frightened anything's going to happen to them. And you wait until they get right up to the edge of the pool, especially if they're afraid of the water. And then what you do is you take their knee out and you say, "Have a nice trip this fall."
Wait a second. You don't do that. You don't do that to kids, do you?
All the time.
That's not what you do to a kid who still has to wear water wings.
Oh, it's just all good, clean fun.
Is it?
Especially when they're at the age when you can steal their nose and they believe it.
Yeah, that's what I
did. That's just, you can do endless varieties of it. I had a kid, he cried for days because I stole his nose, ran into the bathroom, locked the door, and flushed the toilet, came back out and said, "It's gone."
Here's something. America's funniest grandpa. And, you got any material for us? You got anything that you can zing us with and maybe some of the parents listening can use?
I'll tell you, sometimes, most of the time with the kids, the simpler, the better.
Sure.
And there's nothing better for a small child than a knock-knock joke.
Oh, we all grew up with knock-knock jokes. I don't care if you grew up 50 years ago or you're growing up today. Kids love the knock-knock jokes. Can I play along?
Well, I sure would appreciate it if you did.
All right, let's go. Let's try this.
Okay, knock-knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Orange, you glad to see me?
Okay, that's an old one, Grandpa.
They'd never heard it before.
Yeah, I guess it's new to the kid. It's new to them. You're absolutely right. What else you got?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dwayne.
Dwayne who?
Dwayne, the bathtub. I'm drowning.
Yeah, I can see why. You know, adults won't find this anything amusing, but kids will just from all over the world enjoy this stuff.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Madam.
Madam who?
Help, my damn finger's stuck in the door.
You don't want to talk to a kid like that. You know, that scare him a little.
Knock.
Who's there?
Amos.
Amos who?
A mosquito bit me.
Yeah, there is. The book, Adorable Kinder. Of course. Yeah, who's there?
Andy.
Andy who?
Andy bit me again.
These are just public domain knock-knock jokes, and you've got them in your book, Adorable Scoundrels?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Parton.
Parton who?
Parton, my friend.
Come on. Have you written any of your own knock-knock jokes?
Oh, of course I have. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Ben.
Ben who?
Bend down and polish my boots, boy.
Hey, that's one you wrote.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's kid appropriate. Nobody's hit. Who's there?
Jenny Tall.
Jenny Tall who?
Jenny Tall Warts.
You don't say these to kids, do you?
Oh, sometimes they're kicks. They don't know.
And they still laugh, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They love a knock-knock joke. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Con.
Con who?
Condom broke. Hope you're on the pill.
Grandpa! Grandpa!
Got a special one for Christmas time, if you can remember it.
Okay, I'm going to write this one down and save it for when, you know, the toddlers are around. Some kind of sexual transmission joke.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Centipede.
Centipede who?
Centipede on the Christmas tree. knock, knock.
Who's there?
Your dog's dead.
Hold on. I don't want to go and play. Your dog's dead.
Yeah, I hit it with my Jeep.
That's not a knock-knock joke.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Idaho.
Idaho who?
Idaho, where to John?
I gotta stop you. I was gonna ask you where you could go and get this book. It's fun for the whole family, and it's just nothing but dirty knock-knock jokes.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Dewey.
Dewey who?
Do we have to use a rubber?
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
K-Rock.
Hey, everybody.
And welcome, everyone, as we get underway with Miami Dolphins pregame. We'll be here all afternoon. Kickoff coming up tonight.
Yeah, right. You know, the Dolphins would be real happy about that if we just did a four-hour pregame for them.
Oh, I don't know that they would with us doing it.
Well, true. Some things they don't want broadcast.
You want to know what's on Miami radio?
What?
You know, at what
Dolphin
point...
Dolphin pregame?
Yeah, I understand what Brian Flores is doing, but at what point do you say, hey, look at Joe Burrow, look at Justin Herbert? At what point do you have to say, it's time for the young man to get in there under center and find out what the National Football League is all about?
He'll find out.
Let's take some calls.
Yeah, I think they should play Tua. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, he makes a great point there. Let's take another call.
I don't think they should play Tua.
I mean, there's that, too.
That's the way... Look.
Lunkhead, meatheads.
Yep. I told you. I don't care what it is. My new rule for 2020 and the NFL, kickoff. I don't want to hear any pontificating. I don't want to see any demonstrations. I don't want to hear
what
other people
say. Well, you have to. That's league-mandated nonsense.
I'm telling you, I turn it on at kickoff, and I mute the commercials. That's what Stan does.
Yeah, but what about when they paint the end zones with FU, Stan?
You know, I got to... And by, you're right, Dolphin football tonight, they're playing Thursday night. So after we get off the air, I think it's Junior, is it an abbreviated Al Beck tonight?
Abbreviated Al Beck.
And then,
does he know that?
He knows.
So he didn't give it his full effort then?
He was notified, yeah. He only put in a quarter effort.
All right.
A quarter effort. And then...
did he make sure to plug Dave and Chuck the Freak?
Oh, he slipped a couple of those in.
Okay. Of course. And then 7 o'clock is when the pregame gets underway.
Yeah, so like 7:20, something like that.
And did he make sure to plug any outdated, no longer available Stan and Haney promotions?
Oh, of course.
Okay, good.
Okay, right on. I think that what we have here is a communication problem.
Well, we have a problem here in that we have a growing boy who needs direction.
Why? What happened?
Nothing happened. I was just thinking about him and his veggie sticks yesterday.
Yeah, they're god-awful.
And
it's all potato.
And I brought him in a healthy snack.
Oh, those are great!
You want some?
Lay's.
I bought a whole bag.
Kettle-cooked potato chips.
Those, are they barbecue?
They're original.
These are kettle cooked.
Deluxe.
That's the good stuff.
They're the super crunchy. Yeah.
Now, do you have your veggie sticks today?
No, I don't. I have my adult Lunchables.
Do you have an empty veggie sticks bag? Because they don't change the trash out that often, do they?
No, I have an empty
I got an empty Ziploc bag that I had my roast beef sandwich in yesterday.
All right, well, you're thinking of yourself, so. You're going to learn a hard lesson here, because I brought these with you in mind.
Yeah.
But Stan wants some.
Yeah.
And this is the law of the jungle. You know, in Africa, the biggest male lion allows the females and kids to go kill something, and then he strolls over to eat.
Yeah, like a silverback.
Or if you're from the South, the same thing is summed up in the sentence, let the big dog eat.
Yeah.
That means he gets as many of these as he wants.
I thought you were talking about me.
And he gets to stick his fat fingers in it first.
I just want to have a couple of chips, and then they're all his.
But make sure when you open the bag, Stan, that you don't damage any of the info, because Junior can look it up on the internet. Right. And I wanted to compare the nutrition for his healthy veggie straws with a bag of potato chips.
All right, let me see that bag, because I want to try. So there's nothing better than kettle-cooked chips.
See, I didn't think that would get you all excited.
Oh, this is one of my favorite.
Stan, do you want it?
No, I just want a few. Okay.
Yeah, he won't eat the whole thing.
I don't want it.
He just wants to put his hands in there.
Yep. There we go. And I'm carefully opening the bag.
For that nutrition information.
By the way.
Because I want you to compare it to veggie sticks, because veggie sticks are all potato.
Yeah, and these, I think, are better for you. I think they are. I don't want to let anybody know. I'm excited about today's show because I don't want to let anybody know what today's question of the week is yet.
Is it the one that we were talking about?
But it is the one we were talking about. And Junior comes in today. He won't tell me what it is. He actually brought his answer to the question of the week to the radio station.
Oh, for show and tell.
For show and tell. And I have no idea what it is.
Stan's going to check those chips, make sure they're okay.
Mm. They're not stale?
No, they are not.
Fresh?
Yeah.
Nice.
You think I would bring you stale chips?
I don't know, man. Maybe. It was sitting in the back of your pantry or something.
No, I just opened the damn bag.
Well, I'm happy to hear they're fresh.
Do you hear how grateful he is?
No, I'm grateful.
Wait till later today. An email came about you.
You know what?
Really? Of course,
you deserve first crunch, Stan.
Thank you, Haney.
You wouldn't accuse me of that.
Did I balk at all opening this bag and eating them?
No, because you could tell that's a quality bag.
Damn right.
How does that hit you versus a veggie straw?
Ten times better.
See, this is
the same ingredients.
This is my little part in restoring America where it belongs. Veggie straws shouldn't even exist. We have potato chips.
Yeah, now take those. Why are you grabbing them like they're contaminated? Just go in there.
You're insulting Stan.
I'm sorry, Sam.
Just go in there and eat. They're fine.
Because he was acting like there was something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Because Stan touched them.
Cooties. It's got cooties. You know what? We're in the same building.
Yeah, maybe you should put your mask on before you eat the whole bag.
Yeah. He is.
He's doing it. That's what we're dealing with here. He's a good boy, but he pays attention to all the nonsense. He doesn't listen to us. He listens to CNN.
We see little events happen day to day with him, Haney. An emailer put it all together and made it into one big lump. And my God, when I read it before printing it up today for today's email section, it was an eye-opener for me. Eye-opener.
It's not his fault.
I know it's not his fault. This is the way he is.
He's been raised in this nonsense since he was born.
Yep. All right, we got to take a break.
And don't get me wrong. I know his parents. They're fine people.
Yes.
But he is a product of the public school system.
He sure is. Look at him. We're going to take a break. And I'm also, when we come back, we're going to have the grab
bag.
You know,
I'll never forget when he first started here and he said, yeah, I'll take the job, but really, one of the hosts should be a minority female.
He did say that. I said, what are you talking about? It's been the Stan and Haney show for like 28 years. I'm going to say something before we do the grab bag that is buzzing around the radio station, and everybody that I've talked to who noticed it, afraid to talk about it on the air because it'll get the market manager, Brad, mad. And I have no problem talking about it. I think it's time.
Well, haven't you learned your lesson making Brad mad? It never works out well.
I don't think it's going to make him mad. That's why
they think it will.
They think it will, but I don't think it will. And I'll talk about it.
What are we going to do?
What?
Share our conversion stories?
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Coming up here, we're going to have the audio grab bag for you.
Junior, have you looked at the nutrition labels?
Yeah, he has, and we're going to look at it at 3 o'clock. We're going to go over them.
How are the potato chips?
Delicious.
Yeah, they're good. They're the best kind.
I think you might have something to say to me.
Thank you, Haney. I really appreciate it.
About damn time.
Well, no, I would never solicit someone to say thank you. That's not what you need to say to me.
Because you didn't say thank you, and you just heard him. He's not going to solicit it.
What should I say?
Right again, Haney.
No.
Right again, Haney.
You're supposed to say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
Sorry for what?
What is he sorry for?
Because when you started to dig into the potato chips, he goes, oh, they're probably flat, huh? It's probably something he had laying around. I don't even know if I want any.
Well, I didn't know. I was just asking, making sure it wasn't.
Wouldn't you find that insulting, Stan?
I would rather insulting.
I wasn't trying to insult.
If I saw it rolled up with a bag clip on it, then I might have said something. But he's never done that.
Well, you never know. He could have gotten some groceries and just let it sit in the bag. I mean,
you know what, Stan? I'm not going to charge him with the big one. I'm going to charge him with just a wanton insult.
Yeah.
Wanton.
Yeah, wanton insult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That way it'll be less of a sentence.
I agree. Grab bag. By the way, grab bag today. We got an unbelievable real beauty in the local beat. We're also going to have...
See, that's what I hate about radio, is that we're always telling them that what's coming up next is better than what we're doing now.
Oh, it's not better. By no means is it any better.
Remember the Love Doctors? They do that. They talk about something that's coming up the whole show, and then it would never happen.
Yeah. That was a disappointment. By the way, somebody texted us a question of the week later on. Somebody texted us on the Absolute Law text line. Say hi to my boss. His name is Sean, and he works at Westside in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, happy birthday, Sean.
Happy birthday, buddy. The other thing I want to bring up, and everybody's afraid to talk about it. I'm not. I think it's time. Within the last month, if you go to a Publix now, you see that they have the arrows of what aisle you're supposed to go down. It was all all one way.
Really?
Yes. And they finally said, okay, you can go any way you want. Yesterday, Walmart just changed their one-way aisles and took them off. I think it's time, and nobody wants to step up and say it, it's time that Beasley Broadcasting takes down these one-way signs that nobody abides by.
I wasn't even aware of them.
Of course you're not. Of course you're not. You don't go more than 25 feet into the building. They're all over. And it's some rotating arrow thing that you got to follow around.
Although I did notice that when I have had to go other places in the building, I always have an escort that waves people aside.
Yeah. Take down the arrow signs at Broadcast House. It's time.
Yeah. Arrow sucks.
Yeah. Yep. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 North Naples. A woman being called Supermarket Karen destroyed most of an entire aisle of wine at a store in the UK. They
What's
say,
wrong with people?
They say it happened so fast, it was almost like she had superhuman strength. She destroyed that wine aisle so fast.
Look, on aisle 19, it's a broken bottle of Zinfandel.
It's a smashed Merlot.
It's a Chablis. It's Supermarket Karen.
I don't have a mask.
Yes, Supermarket Karen. Strange visitor from the suburbs who came for wine without a COVID mask and displayed powers and abilities beyond those of mortal shoppers. Supermarket Karen, who can scream she's done nothing wrong.
Done nothing wrong!
While ripping down shelves of liquor as bottles of wine shatter on the floor. And who, disguised as a disgruntled customer, fights the never-ending battle with science, social distancing, and the COVID way.
Right on.
You know, I had somebody send me something that they thought was amusing.
You didn't find it amusing, did you?
No.
Not in the least bit.
As you know, I suffer from PTSD. And what this,
really?
What this person, I can't tell you what it stands
I
for.
I know. It isn't the one we're all familiar with.
No, no. But someone, if you picture a Twitter video box,
yeah,
they had it quartered vertically.
Yeah.
And in each one of those boxes was a liberal woman doing an angry confessional with the phone, and I accidentally unmuted it, and they had four of them going at
the same time,
screaming about Trump, or I don't even know if it was about Trump.
Yeah, screaming out, "I hate you, Claire."
Yes. And I would share that with you, except it was so full of profanity.
Yep.
I hate you, Claire!
That times four.
There is,
and I don't appreciate that.
I neither.
That's
do
very
I.
hurtful to me.
There's a real commercial that is out there from Radiant Plumbing in Austin, Texas, that is getting a lot of attention.
Will it increase their business or shut them down completely?
It may increase their business. It's that bad. It's a Terminator spoof starring a robot toilet that's battling a cast of characters who are all massacring the Arnold Schwarzenegger accent.
You know what? I haven't seen it, but I can tell you right now, I think the public salutes the effort.
Yes, it's so bad. It's so bad that you just got to
Am I going to see it?
I don't know if he's got it. I got it right here.
We must destroy the mother toilet. We will not stand for a toilet takeover.
You've got bowel movement.
Turn on all frequencies. Alpha team, status report.
I can see the mother toilet now.
Go! Now! The toilets have taken over the squad commander. He's been covered in mud.
That's not mud. It must be dominated.
Come with me if you want the flash. Plunge me! We got the white speed.
For all your plumbing,
AC, and drain needs, just call Radiant. Come on, what are you doing? Pick up the phone now!
5 stars.
Yeah. Bravo. Bravo.
Oh, and now I can see the video.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're moving on to the next clip.
Yep.
Oh, that's a mean looking toilet.
A lot of teeth.
Bet that's what AOC's toilet looks like. Junior laughed and nodded.
Yeah.
I think I scored a point there.
I thought this was already a law, and I guess New York City has gotten to the point where it has to be a law. New York City is going to officially ban defecating in their New York subways.
That is against all civil rights, isn't it, according to de Blasio?
Their current set of rules only talk about public urination. So I guess they're taking advantage of the defecation.
I thought it was common sense, to be honest, to not, you know, defecate on the subway, but it does need to be said, I feel. I have seen it before multiple times, especially on the A train if you ever took it. Not to call it A train, but it's happened.
Don't go on the subway doing your business.
What? Tracy?
I like this. Someone with a little initiative. A wildlife intern, not paid, just trying to learn about the wildlife, posted a video of her encounter with a wolf in the wild. And
That's not good.
And she narrated it, adding advice on what to do if you find yourself in the same situation, in the middle of nowhere, and you run into a wolf. What to do?
I was alone surveying an area for signs of wolf activity when I saw a wolf walk out of the forest. It was clear that it didn't know that I was there. As it got closer, I said something quietly to alert the wolf. As soon as I did, the wolf stopped in its tracks, trying to figure out what made the noise. It turned and ran as soon as it realized I was there. Running away is a wolf's typical reaction to encountering a human. Sometimes, wolves will bark howl when they feel nervous or threatened. They might also follow a person at a distance until they are out of the area that the wolves feel protective of, like a den or feeding
place.
If you encounter a wolf and it doesn't run away at first, it may be because the wolf doesn't know that you're there. A shout and an arm wave can let the wolf know.
Thank you, sweetheart. All right, you're stuck at home in a state like Pennsylvania, where you still can't go out. You're being homeschooled, you know, the distance learning with the computer. You gotta do something. Theo Peterson was bored at home. Kind of like Billy. So his neighbors gave him a pogo stick.
Theo? Good news.
And he crushed it. He broke the world record for most jumps on a pogo stick in a row out of sheer boredom.
1, 2, 3, 4.
My neighbors gave me the old pogo stick, so I wanted to try it out.
He asked what the record was for pogo stick jumping. So he was like, okay, Mom, I gotta go break the record now. There are points where you see, like, he's scratching his head, like, one-handed. Because I recorded it on my iPad. I didn't think it was going to be 25 minutes long. Like, oh, I hope I have enough memory.
I didn't even broke the record. I think the record was... He did, to break the record. Here it is. The previous record for kids his age, he was 7, 376. Out of sheer boredom, he did 2,309 pogos in a row. All right, I want everybody within the sound of my voice, including the people here in this studio, to be prepared for the most sickening, most ridiculous thing you've ever heard of trying to capitalize on somebody's death. And it's a relative. Michael Jackson's cousin, Marsha, took a blood-stained propofol spilled IV from Michael Jackson's room after he died. Now she's putting it up for auction. She's hoping to get at least $2,500 for the blood-stained propofol IV bag he used.
Shortly after Michael died, I went to the house. I was able to go in and go to the bedroom. This was over by the stand, and what I did, I took it and put it in my purse. This actually belonged with Michael Jackson. It had some white, like milk fluid inside of it, which later on dissolved. But
she lives in a hotel, California.
Michael, right here. DNA, that's what made me grab it, the blood. And this is one of the IVs, the last one actually that he had in his arm when he died.
Unbelievable. There she is.
I just thought someone might enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm looking for anybody. The first 2,500 takes it. Jeez.
I'd also trade for a motorhome. Jet ski.
We mentioned it yesterday. A man that we had the pleasure to break bread with and spend some time with. The legendary Gale Sayers passed away.
A true legend and a true gentleman.
Amazing, amazing. Ranked 22nd on the NFL Films Greatest Players list, and he only played 68 games in the NFL. In his fourth season, he tore several ligaments in his right knee, was never the same. Gale Sayers, one of the true greats of the game.
Give me 18 inches of daylight. That's all I need.
Gale, he had a natural subtlety in the way he performed on a football field. You couldn't take your eyes off of him. Watching him run, it was one of the most beautiful, special experiences I've ever had in my life. That's indelible greatness.
One more for you, too. We didn't talk about it yesterday on the air. We did have it on our website. WWE Hall of Famer Joe Laurinaitis, I think is how you say his name. Road Warrior Animal.
Laurinaitis? Laurinaitis?
Laurinaitis. I don't know. I knew him as Road Warrior. He was part of the tag team team.
Tag team team?
Tag team. Tag.
What a rush!
Right there. He passed away on Tuesday. Natural causes. He was 60 years old. As the Road Warriors, Animal and his partner Hawk were one of the greatest tag teams of all time. There he is, there he is.
Wonder if he had his own custom armorer.
Oh, I'm sure.
Giant Phillips head screws coming out of him?
Yeah, out of a set of football pads, shoulder pads. Hall of Famer. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North.
And a spider on his head with a mohawk.
Yep. When we come back, we're going to look at the nutritional ingredients of kettle chips versus veggie sticks.
Veggie, is it veggie sticks or veggie straws?
Veggie straws.
Straws.
Which I guess it doesn't really matter.
Junior has convinced himself that by punishing himself and eating veggie straws that he's eating healthy versus a potato chip when they're virtually the same thing, in my opinion.
The veggie straws.
They just taste worse.
Yeah, they're all, it's made mostly with potato.
Yeah. How are those chips hitting you after being used to straws?
It's pretty dangerous. Say you got me this big bag. It's probably all going to be gone by the end of the show.
That was my intention.
Yeah. And we'll also have a real...
Want you eating healthy.
We'll have a real beauty, and I mean a real beauty, from the local beat.
A certified real beauty.
Real beauty.
I can't wait.
Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
My friend, you have seen this incident based on sworn testimony. Can you prove that it didn't happen? Perhaps on your way home, someone will pass you in the dark.
No.
And you will never know it.
No.
For they will be...
Stan and Haney.
Oh.
God help us. in the future.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. We got the local beat coming up here in just a second. In about 25 minutes, we're going to give you a chance to win. We're going to play Stan's Three Strikes. And then later on today, our question of the week. Junior has something for show and tell in regards to the question of the week. But let's solve something right now. Junior, nobody knows why. He thinks he's eating healthy. And
yeah, he's fooling himself.
Yeah, take a look at him.
Thanks, dude.
So he's been eating these veggie straws.
Thinking that they're good for him.
Thinking that they're chips or straw, you know.
Made of vegetables.
Vegetables. It can't be any healthier. This is the alternative snack.
Boy, he is packing those chips away.
And we found out the ingredients were like 96.1% potato.
If not higher,
Haney. And so Haney brought him in a nice big bag of Lay's kettle chips. They are the best. Super crunchy. And it's a much
you
better.
You enjoyed several
loved
yourself. It,
loved them. And trying to tell Junior, go ahead, eat the chips because it's just.
You may as well enjoy it.
Yeah, you may as well enjoy the potato. You got the nutritional facts, the straw, the veggie straws.
Well, before we do that, Junior, as far as just a taste test.
Yeah, I can tell you that.
Oh, I mean, these take the cake right here.
On a scale,
the kettle cooked, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank veggie straws?
Veggie straws, like taste, I don't know, man. Like,
oh, way
like,
down.
Probably like a 5. I'll go with a 5. They're not bad. They're not great.
3 or 4.
I'll go with a 5.
5 is being generous.
Right in the middle.
And those?
These? Probably a good solid 8.
I'd go 9.
I'm going to go 8.5. How about that?
Whatever. I know you don't have to agree with me because of the way you are.
Right.
We aren't dealing with precision points here, but what we've established is that the bag of chips are probably close to twice as good.
Easy.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, we'll go with 4.5 and 8.5. That would be twice as good.
Now.
And the only reason that you eat veggie straws is
health.
That you think that they're good for you.
Yeah, but you're eating vegetables.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought.
What does it say?
All right, so.
And this is per serving.
Now, this is the nutrition facts.
There's about 8 servings in that bag of the kettle stuff, Annie got.
So each of these are based off of a serving size of 28 grams.
Okay, both are.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So the veggie straws have 130 calories. The kettle cooked potato chips have 150.
Nominal.
Now, total fat, veggie straws have 7 grams. Potato chips have 9 grams.
Nominal.
Saturated fat, 0.5 grams for the veggie straws, 1.5 grams for the potato chips.
Who's counting?
They're the same on cholesterol, 0.
Yeah.
Sodium for the veggie straws is 200 milligrams. Now, the sodium for the potato chips is 90.
Oh, better for
you.
So,
a big hit on the sodium.
Yes.
Now, carbohydrates is going to be 16 grams for the veggie straws. It's going to be 17 grams for the potato chips.
Insignificant.
Pretty same, yeah. Other than that, it all looks pretty similar.
Yeah. What would you rather eat?
Oh, the potato chips.
And there are virtually no difference. And less in sodium.
Substantially.
Yeah. Substantially less, yeah. So, Haney, I would like to thank you for making me healthy again.
I'm just trying to open your eyes to the truth because so much of life these days is about marketing. It's to make you think something is good for you or something is good for the environment, and it's all marketing. It's BS.
Yeah, I hate veggie straws now.
Yep.
You should with a passion.
Enjoy now.
Think about that. You spent hard-earned money on something you'd rather not eat.
That's true.
Because somebody lied to you.
By putting vegetables on the bag.
Yeah, they put like pictures of tomatoes and celery and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Celery powder, tomato powder to dust them.
Not even in it.
The truth shall set you free.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Annie.
You're welcome.
And I would like to apologize. I'm sorry.
Well, we're working with you.
Yep, we're trying. Local beat. This I can't believe this, and it's Cape Coral, a real, real beauty.
Now, and that's not a term that you throw around loosely, Stan.
And thank God this person is in jail. This happened last Friday. This was from NBC2, I believe. Let me just start with the headline, then we'll get into the horrible facts. Headline: man pretends to live in Cape Coral home to avoid arrest after stealing car and fleeing police. There's a whole lot more to it. Dateline Cape Coral. A Cape Coral family received a surprise at their front door late last Friday night. It was the Cape Coral police at the door, telling them they had just arrested somebody in their driveway. This is his last name, Gary Titsensore.
Are you sure that's not an alias?
Titensor.
Gary's tits are sore.
Yes, Gary Titsensore and his wife were watching television on their couch Friday night at around 9 p.m. when police told them they had arrested 32-year-old Robert Gosnell right there in their driveway after he refused to leave the couple's lanai. Gosnell had quite an adventure before his arrest. Police began following his car after witnessing suspicious behavior in a Cape Coral gas station parking lot. Police attempted to pull the car over, but Gosnell fled, leading police on a chase to the intersection of Del Prado Boulevard South and Southeast 40th Terrace. Gosnell crashed the car at the intersection in a nearby business parking lot. The crash totaled the car. Gosnell was driving and destroyed a curb in the parking lot as well. Following the wreck, Gosnell fled the scene on foot with officers following closely behind.
Hot pursuit.
Gosnell is seen on a neighbor's security camera hopping a fence and running through three other backyards before making it to the Titsensore's property.
I wonder if that's how they pronounce their name.
Titensor. Gare. Let's just call him Gary. Gary said it was real spooky. He got that close and was up to the front door. Fortunately, we did have it locked when the cops came, but he might have tried to get in. He might have come in that quickly. So he was able to get onto the lanai and sit there.
Now, a lanai in front of the house or in back?
I'm assuming in the back because he was jumping over backyards, fences.
But then it's that front door.
He's
a busy boy.
The police went to the front door to say that they arrested him in the driveway. We'll tell you how he got there. Gosnell claimed he lived at Gary's house and refused to leave the lanai. Cape PD.
So at that point, they were well aware he didn't live there.
Oh, yeah, they were in hot pursuit. He leaves a totaled automobile.
So he was trying to pretend, I'm just a guy sitting on my lanai. I don't know what you're talking about.
They didn't buy it. Gosnell claimed he lived at Gary's house. Titensor. How would you say that, Junior?
Titsensore.
What about Titan?
Let's just call him Gary.
Titsensore.
Yeah. You know, that might be closer to the... I don't know. You know he was teased in school. But that's besides the point. So Gosnell claimed he lived at Gary's house.
Whose tits are sore?
And refused to leave his lanai. KPD did eventually coax him into the driveway. I don't know, with a snack, maybe a kettle chip.
Mm-hmm. Shiny object.
Yep. They eventually coaxed him into the driveway where he was arrested.
I would bet some sort of reflective surface.
Yep. Police found drugs and a stolen credit card. Oh, I guess multiple stolen credit cards in his totaled blue Volkswagen. Police said that Volkswagen was stolen, too. It wasn't his.
You know, I can tell that, what's the perp's name? I know Gary's the homeowner. Yeah,
Gosnell.
What's his first name?
His first name is, hold on.
I think it's Robert.
Gary. Oh. No, that's the homeowner. Robert Gosnell.
Okay. I can tell Robert doesn't listen to this show. Because if he did, he'd have a crucial piece of information that could have saved him. Don't take things that don't belong to you.
Well, he has probably been told that numerous times, all the way up to a judge.
How would that be possible? He couldn't possibly be aware of that, or he wouldn't have done it.
Gosnell has been arrested 19 times in Lee County, dating back to 2007. He's been told that a lot. He doesn't listen. Meanwhile, Gary and his family said they'll double-check their doors are locked from now on, adding, it's sad that people get so whacked out on drugs that they do those kinds of things. There he is. There's Robert Gosnell, 19 times arrested.
I don't get it.
No, you and I aren't supposed to get it. You don't know what's rolling around in that head.
I mean, even when we were teenagers and running around like a bunch of jugheads, we'd have a couple of beers and get silly.
Yeah. Oh, and don't get me wrong. He's no kid either. He's 32.
Oh, boy. But, I mean, I hear stories now of kids in their 20s that just go berserk.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're taking.
No. What do you think they're taking, Junior?
You know the ones that like to get naked and run through plate glass windows and scream?
Meth.
That's like speed. Like when they go all crazy like that, they think they're all like superhuman or PCP. That's one where they go like crazy and stuff.
The dust?
People?
The dust.
Take that? I mean, we knew enough not to mess with that, and we never saw it.
Yep.
It's probably still around.
Why would you take that?
Who knows what he was on? Look at
Seriously,
him.
Seriously, Junior, why would somebody take PCP knowing damn well...
The dust.
Knowing damn well what it does. Why would you want to be like that?
Why would some people huff gold spray paint? I don't know that either.
I don't have the answer to that question.
You know, everything's just friggin' falling down around us, and we're just two men here, Stan.
Yep, two men against the world. We'll be back. Give you a chance to win when we come back. We're Stan and Haney.
We, the management of Beasley Media Group, would like to thank Stan and Haney for decades of dedication to this radio station.
Thank you.
We would like to.
Yeah.
But we won't. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, it's Stan and Haney. Thursday edition of the Stan and Haney Show, about 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, hour away from our question of the week. And for today's question of the week, Junior's brought something in for show and tell.
Well, isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
You get a participation ribbon for that.
Sure do.
What I do?
Nothing. Just go back to whatever you were doing.
Okay, thanks.
In one ear.
Yep. And out the other. Let's play stands three strikes. It is played a lot like the Family Feud, but not exactly. I'm going to give you a category. Top 10 answers on the board. Your job is to name all of them. We'll get the first caller. They will have three strikes to get all top 10 answers. If they strike out, the next caller can steal. There might be five left on the board. And if that person can do it in three strikes, they'll win. But if they strike out and maybe one's left on the board, that other person, next caller, can steal and win the game. It's very unfair. Because
by design.
By design. It could virtually be three or four callers down the line, one left to reveal on the board, and that's all they have to do to win the prize.
Yeah. Heavy lifting's already done.
Yep. Yep. Let's play Stan's Three Strikes. I will release the phones after I give you the category, and we'll see if you can name them. Up for grabs, if you win, and you're the person that reveals the last of all the answers, $50 to Foxborough Tavern down in Naples, all things New England, seafood, burgers, pizza, full bar, and more. At Foxborough Tavern, $50. Here's the category. I'll release the phones after I give it to you. Top 10 answers on the board. It's the truth. Unlike any other country, Americans have a bad habit of not taking time off from work.
Yeah, I know I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, yeah. You go to various parts of the world. Some places shut down for a month. Taking siestas during the day. So we as Americans don't necessarily like taking time off from work. But we do on occasion. Top 10 answers on the board. Top 10 reasons we take time off from work besides vacations. We'll try to get a vacation in, but there are other times you need to take off from work, and it's usually not a vacation. Top 10 answers on the board. Top reasons we take time off from work besides vacations. Phone lines are open now. You can attempt to win. 277-9600. Recent survey done. Top 10 reasons we take time off from work besides vacations. Let's see who's up first. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Sorry. Ahoy, who's this?
Jack.
Jack?
Yep.
All right, Jack. Top 10 answers on the board. These are the top reasons we take time off from work besides vacations. You got three strikes. Go for it.
I'm going to go with weddings.
Weddings. Well, number one answer on the board. And that lumps in a lot of them. Family events, graduations, weddings, anniversaries, all these family events. That encompasses
you
the
call
number
them
one.
Events. I like to refer to them as obligations.
Some are obligations. You got one down, nine to go, three strikes.
Funeral.
Number four on the board. Funerals. Yeah, got to take time off to go to the funeral. You're doing great. What's your first name again?
Jack.
Jack, you're doing a good job here, Jack. Let's keep it going. You haven't used a single strike yet. You got two down. Go.
Another reason. Boy.
Reasons, you know, because a lot of times we're taking time off from work. It's not for a vacation. It's not. That we're lucky if we get that. But you got to take time off for work. You got a family event, for like a wedding, a funeral. There's plenty of more on here where you got to take time off from work.
Let's go with a doctor appointment or
number
a
two
reason.
Answer on the board. doctor's appointments. Yep, you're rolling now. Three down, and you got all three of your strikes.
All right. Let's go. How about? I guess you're just sick. Just a sick day.
You're sick. Hold on. You, Jack, would probably go to work if you were sick. You'd tough it out. But yep. Who else would you have to stay home for?
Your children.
Yep. Number 8 on the board. Taking care of a sick child. Can't go into work. Got to take care of the kid. You are knocking these down. You've got 4 down, 6 to go, and all 3 of your strikes.
How about your car's broke down?
That's a pretty good one. Your car's broken down, but that's a strike. 2 more strikes to go. You're still doing very well, Jack. All right, 3 seconds. I need an answer. I'm going to have to strike you. Answer right now?
I got nothing.
All right. I'm sorry. And he actually had another strike to go. 277-9600. We have family events, doctor's appointments, funerals, taking care of a sick child. There's still more on the board. And some of them, and also I'm going to be completely honest with you, some of them are, at least 1 or 2 of them, come on, you need to take time off for work for that. But some people do. Jeez. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. A lot of background noise on that phone. What are you doing?
Okay, wait a second. No, I'm trying to click.
What?
No. I hate you, Claire's.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. I'm not talking to you. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right through here.
Claire's.
Jackie.
I hate Claire's too. Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Jackie. Here's what we have. These are the top 10 reasons why we take time off from work besides vacation. Very few of us take a large amount of time off from work. And vacations are very rare. We already have, Jackie, family events like graduations and weddings. We have doctor's appointments. We have funerals. We have taking care of a sick child. There are 6 more on the board, and you're up with your 3 strikes. Go.
Okay. How about my car's broke down?
Somebody else just said it. I'm not going to strike you on it. Somebody said it, but go ahead.
Okay, how about a play or something with your kids, like in elementary school? An event at school?
Well, we covered sick kids.
Yeah, that's a strike.
Oh, crap.
2 more strikes to go, Jackie. It's okay. You got plenty of time here to get these.
My other job called me in.
Strike 2. I want you to stop. Before you strike out, Jackie, I want you to stop and think. How many times I got to be at home for this, but if work gets in the way, but there are so many things in daily life because it's a 9-to-5 world and you work 9-to-5. That means you're not home.
Okay.
Think about this.
Okay, I'm going to go simplified, but it's probably going to be wrong. I just wanted to play hooky.
What did she say?
She wanted to play hooky. She didn't feel like working that day.
Oh, that's strike 3.
Oh.
Sorry, Jackie.
277-9600.
She's a little tense.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Leo.
Leo, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Stan. How are you doing?
Doing good, pal. We already have family events like graduations and weddings, doctor's appointments, funerals, taking care of a sick kid, Leo. There's 6 more on there. You got 3 strikes.
All right. How about looking for a new job?
Strike 1. Although in the radio business, that's common. But not in the top 10. 2 strikes to go, Leo.
That was high inside, man. I'm striking here. How about move it?
Number three on the board. You're moving to a new house. You got the movers that are coming. You got to be there for that. It's in the middle. You got to ask the boss for a little time off. You betcha. Number three on the board. It's moving. You still got two strikes to go.
How about birth of a kid?
Birth of a kid. That would be, again, under a family event. I'm not going to strike. I'm not going to strike him on
that. Take that back.
Take that. Okay, it's been taken back. Two more strikes. It was already been said that falls under a family event. Go.
How about waiting for a repairman?
You betcha. Number five on the board, waiting for a repairman or the cable guy.
Okay. How about you're hungover?
Strike two. Okay, now I'm going to help you a little bit. I'm going to help you because some of these, as you get closer down the list, it gets a little ridiculous why people take time off. Not that it doesn't happen. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you a hint on one of these.
All right.
One of these happens at the end of the year, maybe in, December. And you don't have any time off from work yet. And, you know, the missus is at home and it's coming close to that time.
Yeah.
And so you have to take a day off to do what?
Buy a gift.
For?
What time? My wife.
For? What time?
Christmas.
Yes. Number six on the board. All right, you guys still got one strike remaining. This would be, and I'm giving you hints.
All right, you're good at giving hints there, Stan.
This would be similar to waiting for a repairman, but it's similar than waiting for a repairman or a cable guy, but they're there to repair something. You're waiting for something else. And they tell you, and of course you're in the middle of working. They tell you, we'll be by at about 2 to 3 in the afternoon.
Oh man, really? Okay.
And so you got to take time off for work for this.
Wait for delivery.
Yes, sir. Number seven. Now the the bottom two, you know what? I guess it goes on. Think about, this includes the final two, and you got one strike, so if you get one, you're probably going to get a strike. I hope you get them both. Both of these, number 9 and number 10 on the board, have to deal with the home. Have to deal with the home, and I'm going to tell you, you already got that there's going to be a repairman, cable guy, a delivery. It has nothing to do with this. It is strictly personal, and it's with your home.
Doing a home improvement.
Number 10 on the board. Taking a day off from work to do repairs around the house. I'm sorry, I got to take the next 4 days off. I'm putting a new drywall up, and that takes time. I got to take off from work. Now, I want to see you win this.
I can tell.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious at this point.
I want to see you win this. If you're doing repairs around the house, and that's number 10, well, certainly doing all that stuff, you're going to have to take another day off for what?
Loading up on the supplies to do the home improvement.
Strike three.
Oh! Fished in!
Strike three.
Look at that Marlin dance.
I'm so sorry. I tried to give you a hint. And the hint stays.
You led him down the primrose path.
What can I say? I mean, this is a game, and I told you it's very unfair. But he was in the right area. It comes down to this. One answer left, and somebody has three chances to get the one answer. Now, if you listen to the hint I gave, I said if you're doing all these repairs and you got the skill saws out and you got the hammers and the the nail gun, and that you're going to have to take another day off to do what in your home? After all of that, 277-9600. Oh, geez, that's loud in your ear when the phone's malfunctioning.
Yes, it is. Thank you for noticing.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, it's Valerie from Cape Coral, Florida.
Hi, Valerie from Cape Coral, Florida. Hi, Valerie.
Hello, I'm calling in to say number one, to call off from work is a mental health day.
Strike one.
Wow. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Don't worry, you still have a strike to give.
You have two more strikes to give.
No, not to give. She's got one to give.
One to give.
All right.
Two to lose.
Okay, love. How about my husband is sick?
What? Strike two. Listen to me. Listen to me. I gave a big hint and you're not listening. Now here.
No, I wasn't listening. I was on my way home from food shopping.
Hey, oh, good.
How did that go?
I'm carrying the stuff from my trunk right now.
All right, hold it.
And I rushed into
Valerie,
the house.
Valerie. Look at this. On and on. Valerie. Valerie. Valerie?
Yes.
Do you want to take like 30 seconds here to put the stuff down?
We'll wait.
No, because... we always said that two trips are for the P word.
No one's asking you to take two trips. You called the radio station to play a game.
Valerie, when you were at the store, have they taken up those directional arrows?
They have. And I was very happy about that because just to go down one aisle, just to go down another aisle.
Valerie?
2 feet. Yes.
You're carrying groceries, and it's probably...
Two
trips are for peas. Now, I want you to win this. Now, listen to me carefully. I'm going to give you a huge hint.
All right, sir.
You just have to get one. You already got a strike against you now. I don't want to see a strike out. Now, Valerie.
Yes.
The number 10 answer on the board was doing repairs around your house. Take a day off. Now, somebody already got that. And with all of the tools and the all the stuff going on in there, you know this, or maybe even you had guests over for the weekend. You're going to need to take...
Not in my house.
Oh, whatever! you're going to... Give her a job.
You know what? There's some chemistry going on here.
Yes. Now, Valerie, you're going to have to take a day off from work after all of this stuff going on in your house just to what? To your house?
Clean my house.
Yes, 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 yes.
Big winner.
You are a big winner.
Are you kidding me?
You just won.
Are you?
No, I'm...
Oh,
you, yep, now, are you married woman? I guess divorced, but are you married?
No, I'm not married for 17 years.
God bless you. He's a saint of a man.
And she doesn't take two trips.
No, that's for peas.
Holy Christ.
Hold on now.
I don't take two trips.
You just won $50, so you and your husband can go to Foxborough Sports Tavern... All things New England. They got seafood, burgers, pizza.
It'll
full
be
bar.
So delightful.
It'll be effing delightful. Now, Valerie,
are you kidding me?
I'm telling you the truth. I am so glad you called. I am so glad you won. Now, I'm going to put you on hold for just a second, and our producer, his name is Junior, he's going to tell you how to get your prize.
I love Junior. Thank you so much. All right.
Hold on, Valerie.
Yeah, that was an ordeal.
Woo! All right, we're gonna take a break.
Poor guy, they've got like 7 of 10 answers in one.
Yeah, no kidding. I feel so bad. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
America is on the go from Maine to the Grand Canyon with
Stan and Haney
as a traveling companion.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon, Thursday afternoon. We're getting close to the weekend. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. 30 minutes away from our question of the week. Let's get you updated. Our first look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. All right, one thing on the board, and it is a crash in Bonita Springs. Crash, Bonita Springs Road Southeast and Valencia Bonita Boulevard. That's a nice sounding road. Valencia Bonita Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful oranges.
Yeah. Think right there in Bonita, it's the orange capital of the world. Used to be. There used to be orange trees all around here.
Oh, yeah. Estero was a big orange grove.
Yeah. Not anymore. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, here's Mark Haney with today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
New study out, somewhat interesting.
Yeah.
Some people may not be surprised. Some people may be. How many times would you suppose the average American is on camera at some point during any given week?
A lot. 20 years ago, we didn't have to worry about it. Today, I'll bet you we're on camera in so many places, where you eat, where you walk. Haney and I believe this. We're probably in this room being listened to and on camera right now in some Beasley office.
Yeah. And they know we're just a bunch of blowhards,
yeah.
So they don't pay any attention to it.
Yep.
They got bored with it a long time ago.
Yeah, a lot of times they just turn the monitor.
I don't care for them.
Yep.
Let's see what's going on in the other office.
New invention time.
Ooh.
It's been a while since we covered the human feed bag, but innovation marches on.
Sure does.
A new invention allows you to eat your burrito with less mess by putting it in a big chapstick tube.
Jeez. You know, our food service, I love it when they send the burrito stuff, but it never stays wrapped up the way it should.
No, it doesn't.
Very messy. I have to get a bowl, and I wind up grabbing a fork.
It's okay. You can do that.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
But it's still really good.
It's some of their best.
A man dies in Boston from eating what doesn't seem like all that much licorice.
Licorice?
Killed him. And finally, you know that saying, you've gone to the well one time too many.
Sure.
A college student in Minnesota discovered what he thought was a foolproof method for every time he didn't do his homework. He called in a bomb threat every time until it didn't work anymore.
Yep, because he went to the well one too many times.
Yep. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. Where's my laughter?
Wake up, guys.
Oh, there it goes.
Wake up. It's medication time. Medication time.
Thank you, Jack. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi, ladies.
Do you have a unique vision for a business that will make you a fortune?
Yeah, I know you have. You've come up with a lot of unique business ideas over your life.
And most of them are so far ahead of their time that you don't understand them, and therefore tell me it's a bad idea.
We need a seed money. We need upfront money.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
worst startup business ideas ever.
Top worst startup business ideas ever.
The solar-powered nose hair trimmer.
Oh.
Sucks harder than ever.
Sure does. And the older you get, the worse it gets. Jeez, I got some nose hairs. If I don't clip them back, I can grow a mustache. And the hair in my ears?
Yeah?
You got to go in there with that tool. Get it all taken care of. Nose hair trimmer? I burned the motor out on one.
Meat gum.
Meat gum. Is that a stick or a ball?
The sham.
Better go check.
Yep. The dating site Amish Amputees Only.
Oh, yeah.
This is not real.
Oh, it is.
Lipton Capo Filet Mignon. Pumpkin Spice Quaaludes.
Right on.
Bunch of bitches.
And finally, the very top worst startup business idea ever.
Yes.
The Wuhan Bat of the Month Club. Okay, calm down. It's a joke. And
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email time. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
Follow up from our super fan Scott. Hey guys, just a quick F-book follow-up. No block on that Biden 200 million dead post. Strange, huh? And we have it up on ours. Completely legit as far as Facebook is concerned. Yep. No problems there. All right. I told you earlier that as you were trying to introduce Junior to kettle chips and no thank yous or anything like that. And you keep
I think he's learned something today.
You keep saying he's a good boy. He's a good boy. Leo has a few observations.
Are these benign?
According to Junior's rules, they are benign.
Okay.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, Leo.
I would like to say something to Junior, if you don't mind. Junior, what have you done for Stan and Haney? Haney gives you candy and a drum machine. You promise to clean his garage. You promise to pay him back for the drum machine. You go into Haney's home and take beer and video games as you please.
Well, it is kind of true.
Eh, Haney.
Didn't you take, like, an Amazon Echo at one point?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was an Alexa, yeah.
Yeah, you just picked it up and go, you don't need this, do you?
Haney, if you...
It's like he goes shopping when he comes over.
Haney, there's always something new.
Haney, if you could remind Junior what the rules of a guest and what the rules of a host are in a household. And Junior, if you say you are going to do something, you do it. One thing my great-grandfather told me was that as a man, you never lose your junk or your word, because a man's word is priceless. Stan gives you advice on how to become a better man. He makes sure you get paid. And he makes you a part of the Stan and Haney show. Is there no shame?
Shame!
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 I think back to the producers of the past, Tommy, D-Train, even Rob, should come in and show him how to be a good producer. You guys are the best and leave behind a great legacy. Signed, Leo.
You know, when you put it like that...
I told you, when you clump it all up into one, it's horrific.
He made some valid points. There's some truth in there.
Yeah, a lot. Ladies and gentlemen...
Oh, how did I end up like that?
You let him in like that. You open the door and say, take anything.
I don't think I said that, though.
You give the vibe. The Guardian.
Oh, Jesus. The
Guardian's got some things on his mind, too.
I give him the vibe that I'm so nice that anything he wants, I'll give until it hurts.
Yeah, it's like a free-for-all.
Yeah. Again, we'll go back to what we've talked about. It becomes expected.
So what would you suggest I do, Junior?
You still have another Alexa at your house, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you need it?
Sure.
Jeez. The Guardian.
Jesus.
Regarding Eli, the Are You Smarter Than Haney game player yesterday.
Yeah. Which is, I will say again, is not my buddy Eli, the guy that I play Call of Duty with. It's not that Eli. It's a different Eli.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Well, guys, as you might guess, I have to weigh in on that moron who played Smarter Than Haney yesterday. In my 20-plus years of listening to you guys, I don't think I ever wanted to slap the crap out of anyone more than that a-hole.
Jesus.
Look, I don't have a problem with anyone being competent, but damn, there's a line you just don't cross. He needs to learn a huge lesson, and Stan is just the one to deal out the punishment. I would suggest banning him from the show completely. Anyone who is that arrogant doesn't deserve any respect from anyone. And then for him to whine about the questions, I have never been happier for Haney to defeat someone and then in turn down the prize. What a complete moron.
Shame! Shame!
I do have a suggestion for a prize for him. Give him a free meal at Stan and Haney's International Tacos and a bus ticket to the beach so he can go pound some sand up his ass, ya boob, ya. Of course, that's just my suggestions. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
Now, I don't know this Eli, but Junior is of the opinion that it was a gag and he was doing it in good fun.
I don't care if it's a gag or not. When we play Are You Smarter Than Haney, this is a competition, not an exhibition.
Well, weren't you sticking up for him?
No, I wasn't sticking up for him. I was getting the vibes that he was just having fun with you guys.
Well,
if that's the case, who cares?
Fine. If we can get a reaction like that out of the Guardian, it's worth it. Stay on it, Guardian. Why don't you go and threaten them?
You know, it is nice to know that we got the Guardian watching us.
Yeah. Our question of the week is next.
It should be a fun one.
Yes. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
96 K-Rock is where we've been for years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out anytime we like. And they said something else, but I forget what it was.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thursday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. About a half hour away from Mark Haney and the news. But it is Thursday. And that means our question of the week. Here's how we do this. We'll pose to you our question of the week. Then we'll do some traffic, allow you to pick up the phone, dial in, and tell us your answer to our question of the week. It's your answer. It's not a yes or no answer. And we'll send it around the room, and then we'll take your phone calls. This one kind of like fell in our laps, and we all said, I think it was on Monday. Was it Monday, Junior?
It was Friday.
Friday. We said, this would make a great question of the week. And I... As I like to
I'm glad you remembered it.
Well, I didn't. He had to find it. But I sent it around the building, and if I get a response, if I get an immediate response from people in the building, I know it's a pretty darn good question of the week. It's not one where, I don't know. They'll have an answer. Oh, yeah, I've got this, or I remember that. Here's our question of the week. We'll pose it to you, do some traffic, then we'll... Take your phone calls, 277-9600. Whether it's because it still performs a function or you just can't get rid of it. What is the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own? You've got it and it works just as good as anything else. And you still have it. What is the oldest piece of usable, workable technology that you still own? 277-9600. I'll release the phones. This is phone participation. Texting me and texting the show isn't going to help very much. It's your answers. It's your stories over the phone. 277-9600. What's the oldest piece of usable, workable technology that you still own? Let's take a look at traffic for your drive home, and then we'll take your phone calls. And Junior is going to give us traffic today because a few just popped up on the board. Junior?
All right, so we got two on the board. I-75 and Corkscrew Road here in Estero is a crash. And then we also have one in Fort Myers, Alico Road, and South Tamiami Trail. No injuries reported.
All right.
Another update in 30 minutes.
Thank you very much. Question of the week. Junior, get them on hold for us. This is such a good question, and it fell right into our laps. What is the oldest piece of usable, workable technology that you still own? Yeah. 277-9600. I'll tell you, I have a couple, and they're both a little different. I have in my living room a late 1930s vintage True Tone floor radio. All wood, glows, and if you look at the dial... It has, and those of you that know anything about networks, Mutual, NBC Blue, NBC Red, and CBS, and the stations, and all tubes.
Well, you can tell that's antiquated because there's no such thing as NBC Red anymore. It's just blue.
And it would, NBC Blue became ABC. And you turn it on, it has to warm up, the tubes light up, the face starts glowing, and it works. The other thing that I have, and it works, and it's part of my components that I have by my television set, and it was a listener years and years ago that gave it to me, is a 1980s era laser disc player. With the giant...
It's like the size of an album.
Yeah, it's the size of a record album, and you put it in, And it, and because of the way the technology was then, it plays half the movie, and then you flip the disc over, and it plays the second half of the movie. And it is a really nice piece of equipment.
The very first time that I saw Scarface, I was house-sitting for somebody, and they had one of those, and they had the Scarface thing like an album.
Yeah, it's the size of a record album. The other thing that we have in our office right now, because it's just been sitting there, there's a wire recorder in there from probably the late 40s, early 50s. And you think, what's a wire recorder? Remember how you used to have the tape recorders, the reel-to-reel tape recorders? This one is reel-to-reel, but it's on a wire. And it was able to...
And it's got recordings from like the 70s on it.
Able to keep magnetic sound on a wire. And it's a really old one. And it works. Haney, what is the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own?
I've got a lot, actually. So I'll narrow it down to two examples. One would be a metronome.
What is that?
To keep time.
Okay. One of the things that go tick, 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 tick. Okay.
Yeah, that hasn't changed in forever. And one, I guess, it might be stretching it to call it technology, but when I first got my own place, my mom gave me a couple of pieces of furniture. She figured everybody needs a table, and she gave me the table that her sewing machine used to go on, and she gave me a recliner. Now, this is an antique recliner where it's very high quality piece of furniture, but to recline, it has an iron thing on the back with different settings, and you just take the stick out for as far as you want it to recline.
It's kind of mechanical.
Yeah.
It's kind of mechanical. Junior, you have show and tell today for...
And he gets a participation ribbon for that, don't forget.
Our question of the week. What did you bring?
So I was going to originally do my Moog synthesizer, which was made in 1981.
He means Moog.
Yeah.
No, it's Moog. but sitting next to my Moog was an original 1948 Boy Scouts of America signal set. It's for like Morse code. It's
really?
Like right there.
There it is, Haney. Take a look at that right there in the bag.
And it's still in the original box, and it still has the original manual in it. It's pretty sweet.
That's pretty cool.
Now, I don't know if it works or not, because you have to have two of them. I only have the one.
And you have to be a Boy Scout to use this, so you're not checked out
on
it.
Yeah, you're not cleared on that.
Dude, I'm an Eagle Scout.
Are you?
Yeah, I've gotten my Eagle Scout.
How did you get that? You were effing up by then.
Oh, yeah. I was effing up hardcore. Yeah. I got by, though.
Oh, I hear it.
Oh, careful with it.
277-9600. What is the oldest piece of usable, workable technology?
Does this actually
you
work?
Still own? He doesn't have the matching
I don't know.
Pair.
You have a...
You have to have, like, a cable for it, and then it has to actually go into another one of those. So you can, like, talk to someone in the next room with it.
It doesn't light up.
Do you know Morse code?
It actually has directions in there, and it teaches you Morse code.
That's not what I asked you, Eagle
Do
Scout.
Do I know Morse code?
Yeah, Eagle Scout.
No.
Yeah, Eagle Scout. What am I saying?
You're saying come by and take the Alexa.
Let's go to the phones. Our question of the week.
That is cool, though.
What is the oldest piece of usable, workable
it's
technology?
It's easy. It's fun.
Yep. To who? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Matt.
Matt, what is the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own?
I may be a little bit new school on this, but I've got a 1991 Super Nintendo. Original controllers, original RF unit, the little thing where the antenna plugs into the back of it, and then it goes into the back of the TV. Little 3 and 4 channel switch. old cartridges.
It still works.
Yeah,
it still works.
Still got that, and I got a Sega Genesis.
Oh, yep, I had one of those. Works. I don't have it anymore. And the carts go in real easy. It doesn't get all pixelated on the screen.
Oh, no, no. Unless it's like an old Rental Store copy, it works perfect.
All right. Appreciate the call. 277-9600. Technology, it advances so fast. What's the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own? Ahoy, who's this?
Glenn.
Glenn, what do you got?
I got my great-grandmother's coffee grinder.
Really? Really? And,
yes.
do you use it?
I still use it.
That's
you
awesome.
Sit there, put a handful of beans on the top, and you sit there and you start turning.
And that arm gets tired, doesn't it?
It does.
277-9600. My wife bought me, because I love coffee, and she bought me a old-style coffee grinder that you go and pour the beans in, like he was saying, and you crank it, and it makes beautiful ground coffee. Beautiful. But, boy, those beans are tough, and you have to literally grind them. And it's like, all right, let me take a five-minute break here.
Honey, you want to take over?
Yeah. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is John. Ahoy.
Ahoy, John. What do you got?
Oldest piece of technology, 1903 pocket watch.
Oh, nice.
I still have dials on my watches. I still wind them every day.
Yeah, and that's what you got to do, that stuff. You got to wind them every day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Does it keep good time?
Yes, it does. It actually does better than my Citizen stiletto.
Nice.
Nice job, yeah. Oh, I have my great-grandfather's pocket watch. And it was in need of repair, so I went and saw Matt down at Matisse Jewelers.
Mm-hmm.
Made it as good as new. Had to fix the hands on
well, he
it.
He can make anything good.
Make
as
anything.
New.
277.
I mean, that's mastercraft.
Yes,
there.
Sir. 277-9600. Oldest piece of workable, usable technology you still own. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Chris. Ahoy, gentlemen.
Hey, Chris, what do you got?
I'm actually listening to you guys on it right now. It's a 60s-era Grand Prix AM-FM 8-track turntable, just like you said, the one that you have. The
yeah.
tubes glow, and
yeah.
you can actually smell the dust on the tubes.
Yes!
And this thing, it will not let me down, man. The record player sounds phenomenal. The only thing I don't have is 8-tracks. I can't find any. The eight-track player still works. But
they're findable.
Everything else works great.
That's awesome. The
only thing I've had to do is replace the speakers. But other than that, the main unit itself, for being 60s era, I mean, this thing's as old as I am. This thing works phenomenal.
Well, yeah, you got to remember, because going into the 60s and 70s, that's when we started to enter the age of the disposable. Prior
yep.
to that, stuff was supposed to last you.
Yep.
And this will probably last me another 20 or 30 years.
If you and now it's easier. You know, about 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when you didn't have a lot of the internet access and you needed new tubes for your tube components,
mm-hmm.
Russia made them. But now there are
really?
Now they were the only ones. Now there are a lot of mom and pop and small stores online that you can order and get tubes again.
Right.
Because they used to be super hard to get and expensive.
Yeah.
But
well, this is the reason why I'm getting back into vinyl records. And if you remember last year, you got those Herb Albert
albums. Yes, sir.
Those were from me, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I have my turntable up and running, and I play a lot of that stuff. So thank
you. Awesome. I'm glad you're enjoying it, Stan.
Thank you, buddy. 277-9600. Here's the thing, and Haney knows this because he knows this about like amps and stuff. Tubes.
Mm-hmm.
That warm sound
you can't get anywhere
that,
else.
That gives you, whether it's a radio, whether it is a piece of musical amp or something, those tubes, and it gets nice and warm, it creates a sound that a transistor can't even, or anything. With, you know, computer and download, nothing like a tube.
See, that's where I kind of cheat, because my amp, my main one that I like to use, it has a tube. but it also has all the latest electronics for effects.
Ah!
See?
Nice. 2779600. Just like that 30s radio that I have. You turn it on, it does not come right on. It has to warm up. And then it starts to glow, and then the signal starts to come in.
You remember when we first started out, the vacuum tubes?
Absolutely.
And all the stuff we had to deal with in the transmitter?
2779600. Who do I go to? I know you picked up that line. Am I going to line three?
Go to two.
Line two? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Eli from Mastero, the good one.
Oh, the good one, the good Eli.
Yep.
Eli, you...
I know you were shocked when you heard...
what a coincidence. I don't have a very common name.
It's not a common name, and I swear to God, Junior and I, and even Haney for a second, in the beginning, thought it was you.
Yeah, you sounded a little similar, just a little bit.
Gotcha.
And then we realized this can't be
Eli. Well, they sounded similar until he started talking.
Yeah, until he started getting lippy.
Oldest piece of technology you still got, Eli?
So I've got, kind of in the same vein, I've got a 1964 console stereo that's still in our living room. It's been repainted and refurbished a couple times, but it still has the original speakers from 64. Got a 10-inch woofer and like an inch and a half horn driver in it, and it will absolutely scream if my wife's not home to yell at me.
And the thing is, and Haney and I have talked about this back in the day, that was a piece of furniture you bought for your home, and it was not disposable. It was meant to be in your home, part of your home decor, not every few years get a new component or something. That was it, and it was going to last 25 years.
Hey, how's the wife doing, by the way?
Oh, she's good. She's good. Baby's coming in December.
So. Oh, boy. Well, you give her my best.
I will. Will do.
See you, Eli. 2779600. We got a few minutes, a few more phone calls we can take. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, John. It's Howard. How you doing there?
Howard, welcome to the Stan and Haney Show, buddy.
Well, speaking of old technology, I apologize, but the whole time I was on hold, I heard nothing but static, and I thought it was my phone, so I hung up and called back. And,
oh, yeah, the on-hold system here is horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Well, that's okay, buddy. It's all good. I got a couple quick three things. I've got an old silver knife I bought at a state sale. It was about 1870-something or other. I mean, it's got a silver body to it and a blade to it. I've got an old 308 Enfield rifle that the gunsmith said it probably worked, but I won't use it.
Yeah, you know,
that's something.
Don't want to get hurt.
No.
How old is it?
The Enfield was produced for many, many years, all through World War One and into before World War One. Actually, D-Train would be the one that.
World War One, that was like a workhorse, wasn't it?
I believe so, but I'm kind of big, but he trains the guy would know.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite thing is my old 1974 Pentax single lens reflex.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
I'm a little jealous. Yeah.
Yeah, I use it in photography class. I could make my own picture.
Sure.
Got me an A in photography class.
And that's when Pentax was really on their game.
Appreciate the call. I still have my grandfather's old Agfa German single lens reflex camera.
I thought you had a TLR.
No,
didn't you have a large format camera at some point?
I don't think that.
Maybe
I had a
I'm
large
just dreaming
format.
That.
Yeah, you must be. That goes back. I know at least into the 50s. Time for one more call. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Steve from San Carlos.
Steve, doing good, buddy. What's the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own?
I still own a Victrola from my grandfather who got it from his father. It was back during, I think it was called the Victor Victrola Talking Machine Company.
It was the Victor Talking Machine Company. And
big horn on that thing.
Now it depends. Now, what kind do you have? Do you have the horn on top or the horn underneath?
Nope, the horn's on top, and it's got the cherry type veneer that has now been peeling off forever. And you know which one I'm talking.
I know which one you're talking about, and I'm going to tell you right now. Don't mess with it.
I'm not.
Don't, even though it's peeling off, try to, don't try to refinish it. Don't try to do it. Leave it alone.
Really?
Yeah. Leave it alone and let somebody, because there are people that restore those.
But it's got to be done a certain way.
But it has to be done a certain way or you lose all the value on it.
It's never been touched. It's actually in a piece of it's a standalone cabinet where underneath is storage, and I have I can't tell you it's packed full with all the old records, but they're really really thick.
Yeah,
the 78s. Yep,
and they were those were the Edison thick 78s. I'm going to tell you one thing. Edison. Do yourself a favor. Go on the internet and look online for Victrola restorers, and you might be able to find somebody that can really make that into an absolute showpiece.
Oh, that would be great. It'd just be a great tribute to my grandfather.
Oh, yeah. You got heritage in that.
Appreciate the call. If you would like to answer our question of the week, don't text us. Email us, ahoy@stanandhaney.com. What's the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own?
I wish Junior had brought the Moog in.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean the Moog.
Oh, I mean the Moog.
Moog.
You know, long off. The two hosts of the show say it's Moog. We win.
Moog.
Mark Caney in the news is next. Jeez, kids.
Engineered to provide 4 times more listening enjoyment than ever before.
Stan and Haney.
And their fine companions on a trip.
96.
Tonka. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Mark Haney and the news coming up here in just a second. We'll also get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. And Thursday night NFL football, Miami Dolphins, Jacksonville Jaguars, right here on 96K Rock tonight. I think game starts or pregame like at 7:20. Dolphins, Jags, Thursday night NFL football.
Did you do that properly?
That was a lazy, quick way. NFL.
You said that's how you have to say it.
That's the way they want you. I'll tell you a very quick story. A friend of mine, I went to school with him, and we worked at a couple of radio stations when I was living in Orlando. And he was working at, I don't know if you remember the station, it was News Talk and Sports, WKIS in Orlando. And he had instructions.
You're not talking about Steve Lube, are you?
No. This my buddy, this was, John Martin was his name. And he had the paperwork for like the voiceover scripts for the football game. Now, keep in mind, back in the 80s, what is that?
Oh, that's me.
Oh. Keep in mind, back in the
80s. What's on?
I don't know. It's a nice song.
Oh, Eli sent me something.
Okay, but will you shut it off, please?
I'm trying. It won't let me.
We're broadcasting.
I know. I didn't do that on purpose.
Back in the 80s, the NFL didn't own everything like they do today. It was, you could say Super Bowl on the air.
They were happy for the promotion.
Yes. But he had the script, and he, for intros and outros for the football games, and it was a note on there, and he used to have to practice it. And then I got such a big kick out of it, I said, I want to practice it too. They had said, when you are describing the NFL, to identify the league, you have to say the full thing, and you have to say it correctly, emphasizing the N in NFL, and it was...
They printed that out.
Yes, because there were a lot of local affiliates carrying a Dolphin games or
so it was like the
Bucks
old Howard
games.
Stern thing. WNBC.
You got that right, because it was pretty much true. And the NFL was trying to tell local announcers how to do it. And it was... pardon me. The local announcers would have to read it and get it right. The National Football League is the NFL. And you'd have to practice that. Make sure it was done right.
because somebody from the league or something, you know, the local team, Bucks or Dolphins at that point in time, would notify the program directors that the announcer that you have is not doing it properly.
Yes, we have to have that end.
Find somebody in the building that can do it properly. The National Football League is the NFL.
Boy, they must have loved you. But I thought you were more of a USFL guy.
I was a USFL guy.
Now, are there any rules for that?
No. No.
They were just grateful if you said it at all.
The USFL, because we had the Orlando Renegades for a year, they would be happy with the coverage. The press box was full because it was a big-time sponsor, Miller Lite. So the media were free to drink. And I remember Larry Zonka was a part owner of the Jacksonville Bulls. And Orlando was playing Jacksonville one night. And
Jacksonville went nuts for that team.
And he was up in the press box, and he must have had some deal with them, because he was going to everybody, all the newspaper
Miller
writers.
Lite.
Miller Lite, Miller Lite, have another Miller Lite. He was pushing that.
You know what? I would bet you to this day, the Jacksonville Bulls are more popular than the Jaguars.
They used to get 60,000, 70,000 for a football game. They were the big, they and the Tampa Bay Bandits would draw huge crowds. Huge. It was a spectacle. And when Jacksonville or Tampa Bay was playing Orlando, forget it. It was massive. Mm. And that year, Jacksonville had the Heisman Trophy winner Mike Rozier was in the backfield. I mean, I had a lot.
That's why I was shocked initially when Jacksonville came into the league that their attendance was such crap, because the Bulls
were crazy.
They were sold out, man.
All the time. Yeah, those were good times. Let's get you updated on traffic.
And I'll bet you if they had been smart instead of going with Jaguars and done whatever it took to acquire the rights to the Bulls logo.
Yep.
They'd be sold out.
Yeah, Larry Zonka was like general manager of the team. Down in Tampa, Steve Spurrier was the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Corso was the head coach of the Orlando Renegades.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a run-in with him, but that's another time.
Who was Mora coaching?
He was coaching the
Baltimore Stars.
But then they moved. They were the Philadelphia Stars, and then they moved to Baltimore. But he was the head coach for all 3 years. He would get so worked up, he'd lather in the corner.
Frothy.
Let's get you.
You got some on you, didn't you?
I did. He was a spittler. let's start in North Fort Myers. Have a crash. 500 block of Pondella Road. Fort Myers crash. Terminal Access Road and Ben Hill Griffin Parkway. Fort Myers, disabled vehicle. South Tamiami Trail and Island Park. Fort Myers, crash. College Club Drive and Ben Hill Griffin Parkway. And one more for you, it's in Estero. Crash, Williams Road and South Tamiami Trail. Mark Haney and the News. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme, when people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchorman was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, September 24th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. You know, Junior seems to do much better on the chips. He seems happier.
He is happier. He's just crunching away, having a good old time.
And he seems healthier.
Because you gave him a big bag. It's not like conserving them. He can eat them all day long.
Are you happy, son?
Yeah.
You like them chips?
Yeah, I do.
Good boy. Time now for things you didn't know. Got him off those veggie straws. Yeah. They're bad for you.
They are. Loaded with sodium.
You know, we were just talking about the NFL.
The NFL.
Has there ever been a major pro sports league that has lost an entire season due to strike or lockout? The whole season.
Whoa, that's a good one.
Because we know there's been labor problems, but have they ever lost an entire professional season?
Yeah, I know. Football has. Baseball lost a World Series in the 90s because of it. Hockey lost a... I don't think so.
There's only one. And not that long ago, in the grand scheme of things, I guess. The National Hockey League.
I remember they had a long shutdown. I thought they were able to get a couple of games in.
Lost the entire season, 2004 to 2005 season, canceled due to the lockout.
Wow. Few people noticed.
You know, it seems like it was just a couple of months ago where we were having some really kick-ass sunsets because all the Sahara dust yep. was coming over us.
Yep.
About 27.7 million tons of dust blows from the Sahara across the Atlantic Ocean to the Amazon rainforest every year, where that desert goes all the way across the ocean, and then becomes useful soil again.
Yep, there it is. The circle of life.
Indeed, Stan. I think that you copyrighted that, didn't you?
Yeah, and I have had numerous lawsuits out with the fine people at Disney, but no, I'm getting nowhere.
I imagine you will know this, Stan, but some of the younger end of the audience may not know this. There was a big hit movie called Three Men and a Baby.
Yes. Yes.
It mainly relied on the star power of Steve Guttenberg.
Right. Tom Selleck didn't mean anything in that movie.
Was it Ted Danson that was the other one?
Ted Danson. Was it Ted Danson, Tom Selleck, and Steve Guttenberg?
Yes.
This may come as a shock to some of you, but that movie was directed by Mr. Spock.
Leonard Nimoy?
Yes.
He directed a lot of stuff. He was good.
But if you didn't know it, it seems odd.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes. Thank you.
I think we mentioned yesterday it may be Junior's generation is the generation that has come of age with no expectation of privacy whatsoever.
Yeah. With all the equipment and stuff.
Being monitored is a part of life.
I'll be watching a television program and I'll see an actor in like a old Turner classic movie and I'm like, man, I remember him and I knew would know his. As soon as I pick up my phone to go and search, it's number one to go and search, that it's hearing me say mm-hmm. say that person's name.
Yeah, you're spied on constantly.
Yep.
But how many times a week do you suppose the average American is caught on camera?
A lot. I bet you it's staggering.
Well, a new study looked at this and found there are so many security cameras now, the average American is caught on camera somehow 238 times a week. That's 34 times a day.
Yep.
That's for the average American. If you travel a lot or work certain jobs, it adds up to over 1,000 times a week. Here's how they broke it down.
Completely believable.
You are more likely to be caught on a security camera while you're driving than at any other time. They figure about 160 times a week when you're driving your car, you're on a camera. The average employee, again, average, is on camera 8 times a day or 40 times a week. And if you're like Junior used to be, working in retail, the number's a lot higher.
You're always on camera. Always.
We didn't have any cameras in our store.
That's what you think.
That's the truth. You really believe that?
Yeah, I do.
Did you do anything you shouldn't have been?
Better hope not.
Did some questionable stuff in the back.
And where those places were, the whole complex had them too. Your store might not have. The whole place does.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they get erased over.
Yep.
And they're gone by now.
After, you know, like 72 hours.
You know, unless somebody wants to save it for a gag reel.
Yep.
You're probably safe. Now, that's for retail employees. You just going about your business shopping. You're on camera 24 times a week. Now, you're neither driving nor shopping nor working retail. You're just going about your own business in your own neighborhood. Well, doorbell and security cameras in your own neighborhood catch you 14 times a week or about twice a day just to keep an eye on you. That's now. By next year, they estimate the number will reach 1 billion live security cameras worldwide, including 180 million in the United States alone.
Wave, somebody's watching you.
No, they're not. Junior knows.
Yeah, he knows. They're never
they don't
camera.
Have cameras. In
major retail and...
In a moment.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, both Stan and I are big fans of the dear departed genius musician Warren Zevon.
Oh, yes.
He had a lot of great albums. One of my favorites was entitled Life'll Kill Ya. And that is literally true.
He was special.
And you never know the things that can do you in. You might think you're safe, but I may have saved Junior's life here by getting him to eat good old-fashioned potato chips over the artificial junk he was putting in his body.
Yeah, the veggie straws. The veggie straws.
We did our own study, and it's all a lie. Potato chips, if anything, might be slightly better for you.
Slightly better. Original, non-flavored kettle chips. They're better for you. And a lot less sodium.
Keyword, slightly.
Well, do you want flavor, or do you want the cheap illusion that you're eating healthy?
Because they dump salt in it.
Yeah. Lots of it.
Yeah, so you'd rather have more salt.
I mean, that's where the flavor is.
You're telling me
you like the
that
flavor?
Veggie straws are better than potato chips?
I've already established I like the potato chips
better. Well, potato chips have less sodium by far.
It's in the quality of the chip, then.
There's no getting through to him. There's no getting through to him.
I try. There are things out there that can kill you, and you'd never know it.
Mm-hmm.
Like licorice.
And I have a question about this story. Maybe it is included, so I don't want to go and jump to conclusions. There's a difference from, you know, like Little House on the Prairie Day of eating real licorice or eating your flavored licorice.
There's a 54-year-old man in Boston who recently passed away. He overdosed on black licorice, which stopped his heart.
Yeah, because that's a root, isn't it? Isn't licorice a root?
And you'd think, boy, he must have eaten a ton of licorice for it to kill him.
Yeah.
It didn't take that much. The man ate a bag and a half of licorice over the course of a day for a few weeks. Now, you might say that's a bad habit, but yeah, you wouldn't think it would kill you.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out black licorice is filled with something called glycyrrhizic acid, which has the potential to throw the nutrients in your body out of whack with as little as 2 ounces a day.
That's got to be the real stuff.
2 ounces a day for 2 weeks could kill you. Just 2 ounces.
Yeah.
And that is especially true the older you get. You're probably safe if you're under 40. When you're over 40, well, that's when the guessing game starts.
Yeah, my goodness.
So it's best to stick to candy that's only full of healthy things like sugar and fat. We'll work on that tomorrow, Junior. Oh, I bet licorice is better for you.
Yeah.
Ooh. And that's the news for today, Thursday, September 24th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is. Little Marky Haney telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
A soothing waterfall of character flaws, coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Simply won't do.
Okay, whatever. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody, it's Dan and Haney. Let me tell you, an abbreviated Al Beck tonight because we got Dolphins football on K-Rock.
Al Beck under protest.
Dolphins and Jags tonight right here on 96 K-Rock, Thursday night, NFL.
He threatened to walk out.
Yeah, so okay. Let's get you updated. All right, a couple of things on the board. We will start in Fort Myers, hit and run, McGregor Boulevard and Shadley Lane. And then in Lehigh Acres, crash, 5400 block of 7th Street West. And you are up to date.
The Cougar, too old to be your girlfriend, too young to be your...
Could you hear that?
It's low. Try it again.
The Cougar, too old to be your girlfriend, too young to be your mother. Easily identifiable by its strong markings and orange skin, the Cougar is mostly seen in the wild, patrolling its territory with an unsteady gait. Often aggressive to younger cubs, the Cougar is known predominantly for its curious diet, starving itself on sparse vegetation during the day, then hunting large slabs of meat at night. Here we see a herd of young males nervously gathering at a watering hole.
And there comes the Cougar.
The Cougar waits in the edges for one of the males to foolishly separate itself from the protection of the herd. Once isolated, the young male is vulnerable and often paralyzed by the Cougar's sudden approach, which causes the rest of the herd to scatter in panic. The young male now has little chance of escaping the cougar's powerful claws and valiantly pretends to be gay to ward her off. But this cougar has not tasted meat for days and is in no mood to be so easily discouraged. And eventually the young male is dragged off to the cougar's inner city apartment, where it will be cruelly made to listen to Enya or possibly the Eurythmics. Cougar numbers have grown considerably over the last 10 years due to culling of the cougar's natural enemy, the long-term relationship. Many areas are now overrun with cougars, which has had such a devastating effect on the young male herds that authorities have taken to introducing a genetically modified young male called the pea addict to control cougar numbers. The pea addict is a parasite that latches onto the cougar's bank account and slowly drains it, so the cougar has no ability to buy the shoes and gold jewelry it relies upon to catch its prey. The cougar is then forced to work longer hours in marketing or human resource consulting and is unable to spend nights harassing the young male herds. Thanks to the pea parasites, the numbers of young males are slowly returning to their 1990 levels. But some experts worry they may be too effective and are suggesting there may be a future need to build more cougar sanctuaries like this one to make sure the species doesn't die out altogether.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Absolutely. It's very fascinating. And it's nice to see that we're trying to help society.
But we're just two men, Stan.
Yeah. Two men against the world.
It takes all of us.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I find it hard to get out of a regular bed. It's always sad in the morning. You're like, I'm going to miss you. You were wonderful last night. I didn't want it to end. We never want it to end, right? That's why there's the snooze bar. Nothing like starting the day off with a little procrastination. As my first decision of the day, I will go back to sleep. How many plants is the snooze bar destroyed? You hear the alarm, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to the gym this morning. Snooze. 8 minutes later, you hear the alarm. You know what? I took a long shower yesterday. Snooze. 8 minutes later, you hear the alarm. You know what? I always wanted to go on welfare. Snooze. The best is when you wake up, you look at the clock, and you see you still have time to sleep. It's like finding $1,000. This is my lucky day slash night slash day!
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. Al Beck coming up. Dolphins football tonight. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Whether it's because it still performs a function or you just can't get rid of it. What is the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own? You've got it and it works just as good as anything else. And you still have it. What is the oldest piece of usable, workable technology that you still own? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Matt.
Matt, what is the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own?
I may be a little bit new school on this, but I've got a 1991 Super Nintendo. Original controllers, original RF unit, the little thing where the antenna plugs into the back of it, and then it goes into the back of the TV. Little 3 and 4 channel switch, old cartridges.
It still works.
Yeah,
it still works.
Got that, and I got a Sega Genesis.
Oh, yep, I had one of those. Works. I don't have it anymore. And the carts go in real easy. It doesn't get all pixelated on the screen.
Oh, no. Unless it's like an old rental store copy, it works perfect.
All right. Appreciate the call. 277-9600. Technology, it advances so fast. What's the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own? Ahoy, who's this?
Glenn.
Glenn, what do you got?
I got my great-grandmother's coffee grinder.
Really? Really? And,
yes.
do you use it?
I still use it.
That's
you
awesome.
Sit there, put a handful of beans on the top, and you sit there and you start turning.
And that arm gets tired, doesn't it? 277-9600. My wife bought me, because I love coffee, and she bought me a old-style coffee grinder that you go and pour the beans in, like he was saying, and you crank it, and it makes beautiful ground coffee. Beautiful. But boy, those beans are tough, and you have to literally grind them. And it's like, all right, let me take a five-minute break here.
Honey, you want to take over?
Yeah. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is John. Ahoy.
Ahoy, John. What do you got?
Oldest piece of technology, 1903 pocket watch.
Oh, nice.
I still have dials on my watches. I still wind them every day.
Yeah, and that's what you got to do to that stuff. You got to wind them every day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Does it keep good time?
Yes, it does. It actually does better than my Citizen Stiletto.
Nice.
Nice job, yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Eli from Estero, the good one.
Oh, the good one. The good Eli.
Yep.
Eli, you...
I know you were shocked when you heard...
what a coincidence. I don't have a very common name.
It's not a common name, and I swear to God, Junior and I, and even Haney for a second, in the beginning, thought it was you.
Yeah, you sounded a little similar, just a little bit.
Gotcha.
And then we realized this can't be the Eli.
Well, they sounded similar until he started talking.
Yeah, until he started getting lippy.
Oldest piece of technology you still got, Eli?
So I've got, kind of in the same vein, I've got a 1964 console stereo that's still in our living room. It's been repainted and refurbished a couple times, but it still has the original speakers from 64. Got a 10-inch woofer and like an inch and a half horn driver in it, and it will absolutely scream if my wife's not home to yell at me.
And the thing is, and Haney and I have talked about this back in the day, that was a piece of furniture you bought mm-hmm. for your home, yeah. and it was not disposable. It was meant to be in your home, part of your home decor, not every few years get a new component or something. That was it, and it was going to last 25 years.
Hey, how's the wife doing, by the way?
Oh, she's good. She's good. Baby's coming in December.
So. Oh, boy. Well, you give her my best.
I will. We'll do.
See you, Eli. Time for one more call. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Steve from San Carlos.
Steve, doing good, buddy. What's the oldest piece of usable, workable technology you still own?
I still own a Victrola from my grandfather who got it from his father. It was back during, I think it was called the Victor Victrola Talking Machine Company.
It was the Victor Talking Machine Company. And,
big horn on that thing.
Now it depends. Now, what kind do you have? Do you have the horn on top or the horn underneath?
Nope. The horn's on top and it's got the cherry type veneer that has now been peeling off forever. And, you know which one I'm talking
about? I know which one you're talking about. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't mess with it.
I'm not.
Don't, even though it's peeling off, don't try to refinish it. Don't try to do it. Leave it alone.
Really?
Yeah. Leave it alone and let somebody, because there are people that restore those.
But it's got to be done a certain way.
But it has to be done a certain way or you lose all the value on it.
It's never been touched. It's actually in a piece of, it's a standalone cabinet mm-hmm. where underneath the storage, and I have, I can't tell you, it's packed full with all the records, but they're really, really thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 78s.
Yep, yep. And those were the Edison thick 78s. I'm going to tell you one thing. Edison. Do yourself a favor. Go on the internet and look online for Victrola restorers. And you might be able to find somebody that can really make that into an absolute showpiece.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.